la reunión. Si lo pueden regresar a la mesa, con mucho gusto se los agradecería.
Hi, my name is Khan. I'm the Vietnamese interpreter. Chào quý vị, con là người thông dịch Việt Nam. Nếu mà quý vị cần thì qua bên bàn bên kia để lấy.
Magandang umaga po. Ako po si Jennifer. Ako po ang magiging tagapagsalin sa wikang Pilipino. Kinagagalak ko po na makarating ngayong umaga para po makapagsilbi sa inyo. Marami pong salamat.
Hi, my name is Anna. I'm the Chinese interpreter. 谁需要中文翻译就请过来拿一个 speakerphone。
Thank you very much. We're getting better at that. All right, for those of you, this is a public meeting of the Districting Commission. Well, wait till we get the headsets going. So we're here principally to receive public testimony from all of you about the districting process and creating districts. So, but before we begin, because this is a public meeting, I would like everybody to rise and join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. ¿Estamos listos? Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, I hate to say this, but I forgot my notes at home, so I'm going to have to wing it this morning. Let's begin with the introductions. To my right are the members of the Districting Commission. I'd like to introduce our Vice Chair, Reynaldo Monzon, Commissioner John Corey, Commissioner Rita Buencamino Andrews, and our newest member, Commissioner Bernardo Vasquez. Not here, but will be here shortly, are Commissioner Richter and Goddard, and I'll introduce them when they arrive. I'd also like to introduce our city staff here. Is this a fire bell? We have to leave? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'd like to introduce Glenn Guggins, our city attorney. I also like to introduce Ann Steinberger, the PIO, the Public Information Officer for the city. I also like to, over there in the blue shirt, is Pedro Anaya from Southwest Strategies and his team who helped put all this together. I'd like to acknowledge him and his crew. And then last but not least, I'd like to introduce Karen McDonald of Q2. She is our mapping consultant. She's going to be helping us in creating the four districts for the city of Chula Vista. So again, the primary reason that we are here is to hear your public testimony. And for those of you who do not speak English, please do not worry. We want to hear your testimony. You can come and give it to us in Spanish. We have people who will translate your testimony from Spanish to English. So we want to hear everybody, okay? So don't feel that just because you may not speak English that your testimony is not welcome. We want to hear you. So let's go back. In 2012, you, the residents of Chula Vista, passed a proposition called Proposition B, which changed fundamentally our system of local government. It called for establishing districts to elect the city council, which first time in its history. And many people ask me, why? Why would the residents do that? Well, basically, we live in a form of representative democracy. And the reason for that is to hold our local government and the people who work for our local government to be more responsive, accountable, and representative of the community it serves. That's basically it, okay? So this process, we first started meeting in September. We've been meeting monthly since then, primarily to organize everything, to hire our consultant, our outreach consultant, our mapping consultant, to get the budget to pay for everything. But now we're ready for the most critical phase of this entire process. And that begins this week with these public workshops that we've had. We've had five of them throughout Chula Vista. Three we are having on the east side, two on the west side. After this workshop, we have one more, and that's at Greg Rogers Elementary over there in the Sumbo area. Now, the purpose, like I said, is to help us identify what's called communities of interest. And when we say that, people, they don't quite understand, well, what do you mean by that? Well, basically what we mean is the areas where you live, where you pray, where your children go to school, where you recreate, where you shop. Now, those communities can be defined by a housing subdivision, like in East Chula Vista, or they can be centered around a high school, like in West Chula Vista. Okay, you have Hilltop and Castle Park, for example. But it could transcend those, okay? It's primarily where you live, work, recreate, and so on. It could be identified by the languages of your neighbors and you, and our consultant will go more in depth to that. So that's what we're here for. We want to find out those communities of interest, have you help us map it out. We're going to have you come in the second half of this workshop, take a little wand and show us these communities of interest on this map of Chula Vista so we can help, visualize it in our minds. Okay, so, now the last thing, and the consultant will go into that in more depth. After this workshop, we're going to meet on April 24th and 25th when the commissioners will actually start putting together these maps. And then we will come back later on for more public input. Now, we're not going to create one map or draft map. We're going to create two, maybe three maps and bring that back to the community for them to give their feedback on, okay? So having said that, I'll turn it over to Ms. McDonald, and then she can begin the presentation. Oh, and also please, Commissioner Goddard just stepped in, and so I want to introduce her as well. Okay.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on a beautiful Saturday morning. What could be better than coming to a districting meeting, right? Some of you have heard this presentation already. I think some of you are ready to actually give this presentation. So hopefully it's not going to be too boring for you. Districting in Chula Vista, I'm going to go through a few slides, just explain the entire process. And the translators are going to wave at me if I'm going too fast. Okay? Wave something. Okay? Okay, good. Okay, next slide, please, Brandon. Thank you. So what is districting? What is it that we're doing here? Districting is the process of drawing the boundaries that divide the city's population into the four districts. And in a district-based system, representatives are elected from the district. So what you have right now in Chula Vista is an at-large system. So basically you have candidates that are running in the entire city, and then the entire city votes on all of the candidates. Once this commission has concluded its work, there will be candidates running from the individual districts, and just the districts are going to be voting on those candidates. Okay, and there's going to be four districts. This is a 7-member citizen commission that is charged with constructing the boundaries. And in 2016, so next year, you will be starting to elect people in this different way. And it's going to be phased in over 2 election cycles. Next, please. So how were these commissioners selected? You may wonder how this commission came together. They had to apply to the Charter Commission, and then the Charter Commission picked 10 from the applicant pool. They got about 27 or something just short of 30 applications. And these commissioners had to comply with various conflict of interest exclusions. So, for example, they could not be a city council member or work for a city council member or be city staff or things like that. And that is all to make sure that there is no conflict of interest when they are constructing these districts. So they're not supposed to, you know, draw these districts to benefit themselves. That's essentially what that means. The commissioners also had to demonstrate diverse skills, including analytic ability and impartiality. So they had to put onto their application, you know, the kinds of things that they have done in the community in the past. They had to show that they had a particular set of skills so that they could comprehend the kinds of criteria that we're going to go through here right now. Commissioners cannot run for city council for 4 years after this particular process is over. So, and that's also to make sure that they're not going to just draw a district for themselves and then, you know, be the candidate, basically. Next, please. What does the commission do and when does the commission do it? This is a summary of what the chair has already talked about. So we're in the process of the first set of meetings right now. So this week we have 5 hearings. This is the 4th. We have another one this afternoon. We're collecting data through community input, and this is what we hope you can help us with because we really need to hear from you about your communities. And we're doing this at hearings through mailed and emailed submissions. So if you don't want to speak here today, you can fill out a form. We have these forms sitting here in various languages. You can also mail a letter. You can send it. You can drop it off. You can do, you know, a number of things to get feedback to the commission if you don't feel like speaking. But I would encourage you to speak. It's really, this is a, you know, very interactive meeting, and I think people have actually had a pretty good time coming to some of the meetings and, you know, kind of just letting everybody know about their community. So we don't bite, and, you know, please just feel free to participate. The commission will then, once they're done with this first round of hearings, construct and improve and approve a draft districting plan, and as the chair said, that's going to be Friday, Saturday, April 24 and 25, and that's also a public meeting, and that's going to be at City Hall. So what they're going to do is they're going to come to City Hall, and they're going to look at all of the testimony. They're probably looking at the testimony already that they're getting from all of you, and they're going to look at a blank map, and then they're going to start figuring out how these districts should come together. So they're going to say, for example, we're going to start in the upper right corner of the map. Let's just see what kind of a district we can draw there. And then they're going to do that for the entire city and see what they're going to get. And there is no map yet. We don't have any lines. So at this point, it's all a blank slate. So what you tell us is going to be very important, because if you don't tell us, they can't consider it. Then they will hold feedback hearings and additional input hearings on that draft. So once they have a map, they will send it out. It's going to be on the website. There's going to be printouts available so that people can take a look at it for a while and come back with feedback and say, you know, that district really doesn't work. That line should really be over here, you know, or you guys really didn't get it right at all. So, I mean, in the 2 line drawing meetings on the 24th and 25th, you can already give feedback, but then afterwards you can give more feedback once you've perhaps met with your community members, once you've discussed it, and then there's more opportunity for input. So we'll go back out in May for 5 additional hearings where you can look at the drafts and give, like, very specific input. Then on June 8th, the commission is going to get back together, and they're going to make modifications to the draft plan and figure out what the preliminary plan should look like. Then they approve a recommended districting plan and submit it to the City Council for consideration. And basically, the City Council is going to look at it and say, okay, got it right, got it wrong, here's our feedback, send it back to the commissioners, and then the commissioners can take a look at that feedback if they so choose and, you know, act accordingly. So next, please. Here is a list of the meetings. This PowerPoint is on the city's website, so if you want to download it and you just want to have, you know, a list of meetings ready to go. We also have like little cards, we have flyers, but it's a convenient way if you perhaps want to use this PowerPoint to tell your community members who couldn't make it to a meeting about what's going on and what the process is. So we put all of these hearing dates and locations onto a slide for you. Again, we have another meeting this afternoon at 3. The three meetings that are in brackets, those were the meetings that we had this week. And then line drawing again at City Council Chambers on the 24th and 25th. And we hope you can put that in your calendar and you can join us. That's going to be, actually, it's a lot of fun. Those line drawing meetings, they really are very interesting if you haven't participated in one in the past. Next, please. Commission meetings and hearings for the next phase of the process, they're already scheduled for May 12, 13, 14. And then 16, there's going to be two meetings. The line drawing meeting for the preliminary plan is going to be on June 8. And the city website will always have the most accurate meeting dates and locations, just in case we need to change something, or perhaps the commission will schedule some additional meetings. So it's chulavistaca.gov/districting. It has all the dates, and it also has all the handouts in different languages. It has the PowerPoint. It has maps. And there is going to be an interactive map as well on that site. We're just working on getting that linked, right? And yeah. Okay. Next, please. Thank you, Brandon. So how will the commission decide where to draw those district lines, right? At this point, there's just one big map. So how are they going to do it? Well, the Chula Vista Charter has criteria that the commission has to use to draw the district lines. So they need to take these things into consideration. I'm going to read them off, and then I'm going to explain them one by one. Districts have to have reasonably equal population, as required by the constitutions. And that just means that they pretty much have to be equal in size in terms of the number of people that live in them. District boundaries shall be geographically compact and contiguous. That's a geography requirement. We'll go over this in a second. They shall follow visible features and boundaries when possible. So we don't want to have a district line that kind of goes through somebody's backyard, you know, and you don't know what side of the backyard. Basically, a visible boundary is like a street or like the edge of a lake, or, you know, it could be a creek or anything like that, or, you know, say the shoreline, for example. Districts shall respect communities of interest to the extent practicable. Communities of interest, this is what the chair was talking about. That's really where we need your input. Some of these other things, they can figure out on their own, but the communities of interest, that's really something where they are going to need to hear from everybody, because that's about you. That is where you are the expert. That's where you live, where you work. This is what you know about your neighborhoods, your communities, you know, the kinds of things you work on with your neighbors, where you organize, maybe the kinds of things that you want to see happen in your areas. We'll go over this also in a little bit more detail in a second. And then finally, they are not supposed to look at like city council candidates or the current sitting city council members, like where they live, their addresses. They cannot be taken into consideration. So they have to disregard politics, basically. Next, please. So how many people have to be in the district? We call that the ideal population. So we have four districts, right? So what you do is you go to the census, and the census told us in 2010 how many people are in the city of Chula Vista. And that was 243,916. Because we have four districts, you divide that by four, and then you know how many people you should have in every district. So what we're going to shoot for is 60,979. So that would be your ideal population. Next, please. But just because it's ideal doesn't mean that it always makes a lot of sense. You know, sometimes it makes more sense to have one district be a tiny little bit smaller, one district be a little bit bigger. And why is that? Because, you know, maybe you want to keep a neighborhood together or a community of interest, you know, or maybe you're using a visible boundary. That's a really important boundary, and the population just doesn't divide up this in this ideal fashion. So it's good to have a little bit of flexibility on, you know, how much you can be from the ideal. And the charter tells us that we have to be reasonably equal, so we have generally plus or minus 5% of wiggle room on this district population. So that means that from the ideal population, we can be about 3,000 people over or under. But of course, you know, we can't run out of people or annex people from San Diego or any place else, okay? So we have to stay in the city, and in the end, of course, we have to have four districts that total up the entire city. When you draw other types of districts, like, I don't know if any of you paid attention to the state redistricting process, they had really different guidelines. So for congressional districts, they had to be very equal. So they could only be by one person off. And that's really difficult to do, because oftentimes you end up splitting communities, or you split, you know, neighborhoods, because one person is just very strict. So luckily, we have a little more flexibility in the city of Chula Vista. The Voting Rights Act is a really important document that, of course, has a lot of history. I think a lot of you have probably seen Selma recently. So we all know where it came from. And it governs every districting process or redistricting process, whether or not it's specifically mentioned. What it says is it prohibits the denial or abridgment of voting rights on the basis of race or language minority status. What it does is it prohibits practices that have the purpose or effect of discriminating on the basis of race or language minority status, and again, it applies to all jurisdictions that conduct elections. So what does that mean? One of the sections in the Voting Rights Act, which is a really big document, and it really covers a lot of different areas, like, for example, like in elections, you know, the Registrar of Voters has to provide certain languages when you're going to the polling places in some areas, and that depends on, you know, how many people cannot speak English in a particular area or would benefit from having a translated ballot. So that's also part of the Voting Rights Act. This is a different part of the Voting Rights Act, and it's called Section 2. And the way it factors into districting or into what we're doing right now generally is that an electoral system, so that's really like an at-large election or a district system, can limit the ability to elect a candidate of choice by a protected class of voters in various ways, including cracking and packing. So what does that mean? When you're looking at a map and you see a very densely populated protected population, so protected populations are based on race and ethnicity, so there is protected populations are Latinos, Blacks, Asians, Alaskan Natives, Pacific Islanders, and who am I forgetting? I'm not forgetting anybody. Okay, and so that protected class of voters, if you see a protected class of voters in a large group, then you should not take that group and slice and dice it into various districts so that they can't work together, essentially, right? So you need to be respectful of people that live in particular areas that are protected by the Voting Rights Act. And in the same, on the other side of this, in kind of the same ideology, you should also not put too many people into one district. So if they could be a majority in two districts, then you need to be respectful of that as well, and don't just like draw them into one district so that they can only, that they only have the ability to elect one person rather than two. So that's essentially what the Voting Rights Act says. Practices that limit the ability to elect somebody who will represent your needs in this way are said to dilute minority voting strength. Next, please. So next criterion is compactness. The charter says that district boundaries shall be geographically compact. And that is a geography criterion. So you are going to look at your district shape. And if your district shape kind of looks like the outline of my hand with my fingers open, then it's probably not not as compact. Sorry. It's probably not as compact than if it's the outline of my fist. Okay? So basically, compactness is about like funny looking districts. You know, if there's like fingers going up, or it looks like, you know, a lizard, or, you know, a kangaroo or whatever, then it's probably not all that compact. And, you know, if you're one of those people that can look in the clouds and see like various animals in there, you're probably also a person that can look in a map and see like various animals. So you know what I'm talking about. If it looks like a very strange animal, it's probably not a compact district. Why do we care about this? Well, in some of the court cases, the Supreme Court has said if it looks funny, then that may be a sign that something funny was going on when people were constructing that district. And sometimes that's true. It's not always true. Sometimes it's just a matter of what, you know, your underlying city boundaries look like or what your geography looks like. And sometimes you have to draw a not-so-nice-looking district because you have those criteria you have to meet, right? You have to have equal population, and it depends on where your population lives. So sometimes to get, like, a district that has the right number of people, you have to reach out and grab some people and put them in the district. And that can affect what your district looks like. So next, please. Contiguity. That's another geography criterion, and that's basically about having districts that are in one piece. So we can't have City Council District 1 that has half of the district in the north and half of the district in the south, and in between there's all kinds of other districts happening. So the district basically has to be connected. And the way you figure that out is if you can get from one end of the district to the other end of the district without leaving the district, then you have a contiguous district. So this is a pretty straightforward and simple one. Next, please. Communities of interest. Well, if you live in a community of interest, this is also pretty simple and pretty straightforward for you, because what we really would like you to tell us about is what you know. What do you know about your neighbors? What do you know about the people that you work with? What do you know about the area you live in? And there is no data set or, you know, any like expert that you can bring in that will tell us about what happens where you live. You know, you're the expert, so that's what we're bringing you in. And please tell us about what we need to know. So what is a COI or community of interest? The charter says it's a geographic area comprised of residents who share similar interests, including but not limited to social, cultural, ethnic, geographic, or economic interests, or formal government or quasi-governmental relationships. And what is it not? Communities of interest cannot include relationships with parties, and that would be political parties, incumbents, or candidates. So let's go to the next slide. But this last one about what it can't be, let's talk about that first. So if, for example, you and all your friends live in the same area and you all walked precincts for the city council candidate. And because of that, you got to know each other really well and you feel like, yeah, we're really a community of interest. That may be a community of interest, but the commissioners cannot take that into consideration because that is a community of interest that's about a candidate or maybe about an incumbent. Okay? So the kinds of communities of interest that they can take into consideration and should are the ones that are outlined. And for example, well, let me say first that there is really no limit except for that. So except for, you know, political parties or candidates or incumbents, anything else is going to be okay. So whatever you tell us is going to be what you know about your community and your community members. And the Chula Vista Charter just provides some guidance and some examples, but there is more that you could bring in. So it's about it's about basically your geography and certain topics that you're going to tell us about, Brandon. You could very simply look at these two questions, like, what defines your community? What is your mission or commonality? If you could tell us that, like, what bonds your community? Like, what do you all work on? You know, what are the issues that you have in your neighborhood? And then explain maybe what's different outside of the boundaries and what's like, you know, as compared to inside of your boundaries. So, for example, where I live, sometimes if you're in a particular area of Oakland, we're in Oakland, up north, Jamie and I. And in Oakland, if you go across a particular street sometimes, depending on your neighborhood, everything changes. So, you know, like, for example, we don't get any services in, like, one neighborhood, and as soon as you go across a particular street, you're in a different neighborhood, and they get everything that we don't. And that's Oakland, you know? So for me, it would be really easy to say, this is my community of interest because I know what we all try to accomplish. We are constantly complaining to the city council about, like, getting our potholes fixed. You know, and they get fixed across the street, but not in our neighborhood. So it's things like that. Or people work on, you know, historic preservation areas, like a historic neighborhood, or maybe are working on getting a, you know, a shopping center established or things like that. So that's a community of interest. If you can create a map of the boundaries, you could, for example, use Google Maps if you like to use computers. We have a handout that describes exactly how to do that. So basically, you create a map, and then you can email it, or you can print it out and get it to us. Or you can just, like, draw us a map on a piece of paper. So just, you know, say this street, this street, this street, but make sure you write in a way that we can read it, okay? Because we have to find it on the map and put it in the computer so that the commissioners can see it. Or you can just write down the boundaries. And again, we have this handout that says, please tell us where your community of interest is, like what it is and where it is. So if you could, like, fill that out and give it to us, it would be really helpful. Next, please. Here are some more examples. Like, economic interests could be common employment or economic opportunities. For example, in some areas of California, you find that in certain areas, there is everybody works for the same company. You know? So everybody's like, oh, yeah, you know, we all work for this company, and if something happens to that company, then everybody's in the same boat. You know, like, for example, there's layoffs at that company and everybody's going to be affected. Is that a community of interest? I think if you ask those people, they would probably tell you, yes, it is. And they usually also know exactly where their boundaries are, like, you know, F Street and Broadway and Grant and, you know, Embarcadero, whatever. So it doesn't just have to be what's going on right now, but it could also be about something that people are working on. Like, say you're bringing in an employer or you're working with somebody to establish, you know, some sort of a company that's going to provide a lot of jobs. So that's also okay for communities of interest. Social interests could include schools, like we're all working on the school, after school programs or so. The school may be a center of your neighborhood, of your community of interest. Tell us about that. This is where we're based, you know, this is where we work, this is what we do. And it could be about improving recreational opportunities or public safety, like sometimes there are neighborhood crime prevention councils that organize and, you know, they're trying to get more, whatever, or better police services, things like that. Next, please. Again, I've already mentioned those. These are some examples of what we've seen very commonly in some other parts of California or other jurisdictions, is where people organize around schools, transportation hubs, like a Greyhound station, that's a big deal in Oakland, community centers or trying to get a dog park, race and ethnicity. So this is something when we're talking about, we talked about the Voting Rights Act, but there's also a series of court cases out there that say race cannot be a predominant criterion. And so that means that when you're talking about your community of interest, just saying, okay, well, we're all Latinos and we all live in this neighborhood, that's not the best way to present that kind of data. Think more, think further. Think about what that actually means. Does it mean that you have shared experiences or a shared history? Is it perhaps a shared immigration status? Is it a lack or it's like better access to education or lack of access to education? What is it aside from just being Latino or being black or, you know, being of Asian heritage that makes your community? And tell us that. In some immigrant neighborhoods, for example, we see that there is a higher number of kids per household or maybe a younger population overall. There are shared languages and cultures. So tell us a little bit more, aside from just ethnicity or race, okay? Thank you, please. Then again, ignore politics, disregard where incumbents or candidates live. If you know where the city council members live, we don't want to know, please. If you know where a candidate lives, please don't tell us. We don't want to know. And, you know, we keep that out. There's a time and a place to deal with that. This is not the time and place to deal with it. This is the time and place to get some good districts for everybody. And then, you know, time will tell who's going to run in those districts. Next, please. So finally, why should you participate in the districting? I think you, because you're here, you probably understand this already, but these are the kinds of things that I say to people when I try to get them to come out, which I hope you will talk to your friends and your neighbors and your community members to get them involved in this process. It's to encourage citizens to register, to vote, to remain politically engage, to give your community a voice, make sure you have equal access to the political process, and specifically to shape a districting plan that provides you with a meaningful opportunity to elect a candidate who will represent your interests on issues that are important to you in your lives. So we hope you will be able to stay engaged in this process and participate in all the different phases of this process. Next, please. If you need a space where you can talk to people, if you don't want to do it in your living room, if you want to bring your community members together and you perhaps would like to have access to a computer where you can look at a map and maybe create a Google map, access the city's website, we have established districting access sites that are in three of the Chula Vista Library locations. They're in the Civic Center branch, the South Chula Vista branch on Orange here, and the Otay Ranch branch on Birch Street, or Birch Road, rather. And so if you walk in there, you can get meeting space. So again, you don't have to do it in your living room. There's internet access. There's information available. And we hope you'll use those sites. We were there yesterday. My colleague, Jamie Clark, who did not introduce. This is my colleague, Jamie Clark. And she is really much more important than I am because I just talk and she actually does the mapping. So Jamie and I, we've worked together for a really long time. And she also worked on the state of California districting and the Escondido districting. So she has a ton of knowledge and experience. So anyway, and you should reach out to us too, by the way. So while we're here in Chula Vista, like this week, for example, we've had people make appointments with us. We've met with them at the districting access sites so that they could, you know, ask us questions and look at maps and kind of work with us a little bit, because the commissioners understand that this is a lot of information. It's kind of a weird topic to get familiar with fast. And so they want to make sure that you have all the access that you may need. So we're available to you. If you need to meet with us, would like to meet with us, please contact Ms. Steinberger through the city's website and set up an appointment with us. We're also available to answer your questions during the break, as are the commissioners, because we're going to do this in a second. So, there's additional help available. Next, please. So how to get involved and how to learn more. I've already talked about this. You know, testify. Please just get information to us as soon as you can. provide information about your community of interest by, if you can, April 20, because 4 days later they're going to start constructing the districts. If you can get things to us by April 20, then they have time to look at the information, that they being the commissioners, of course, and Jamie has time to put your communities of interest into the mapping program. And, you know, we've already done this for the last few days, but, you know, please keep the feedback coming, keep the input coming, so that they have a lot of information to draw lines with. Because if they don't know, then they can't use it, okay? So the best way to figure out what's going on is to go to the districting website at chulavistaca.gov. There is an email you can send things to. It's districting@chulavistaca.gov. We have these little notes thingies. Can you hold one up? If you want to grab one of these, Jamie's holding one up. They have the dates and locations and also the information, so grab one of those. They're really great to have in your pocket so that when you run into somebody, you can tell them, hey, please come to this particular meeting. And, yeah, that's it. So thank you very much for participating.
Okay, before we break out, is that, again, because we're here to listen to you, to get public testimony. So what we need you to do is fill out this card, okay? And also, remember, today is not the only opportunity for you to give public testimony. There are forms like this in the front, in English and in Spanish, for you to submit your testimony, to talk about, you know, your communities. So it has an email, a phone number. So and please, we want to hear your voice. So with that, we're going to break for 20 minutes. We'd like for you to come and look at the maps. Well, first I want to ask, how many of you here live on the west side of Chula Vista? Okay. How many live on the east side then, the other parts? Okay. So we want you to come to the maps, take a look at them. Also, we have the other forms in the front for you to complete if you want. And just, you know, collect your thoughts. You can talk to the commissioners here and talk to them about, you know, whatever with regard to your communities. So we will meet. It's now 10 to 10. We'll meet at 10 minutes after 10, okay? We'll give you 20 minutes, okay? Bye-bye.